White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 485.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we have news. We have news to talk about. Stuff happened. Stuff has happened like just a little while ago.
And not just stuff happens. We have breaking news.
Breaking news is happening on the AU Wishbone. And you know, when the news breaks, we break it some more. So we're ready to tear it up. So, you know, this was already going to be a strange enough SEC season where all the SEC teams are just playing with themselves. But now we know who they're playing with each other, with themselves. And so we are gathered here tonight to talk about the upcoming Auburn schedule and maybe, you know, anything else on the SEC schedule that looks interesting. But this is a very odd, this is about as weird of a football schedule as I've ever seen in my years of watching SEC football. What do you think?
I think that's a very fair statement.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, now I missed out on the 10-game seasons. That was before even my time and yours, but you know, you and I grew up with the 11-game schedule, and then in the early 2000s, they started messing around, they said, with the temporary 12-game schedule in years where that would allow it. And, you know, you and I were both like, yeah, temporary as in they're going to have 12 games permanently now. And, of course, within a couple of years, it quit being a temporary thing and became a permanent thing. And so, but still, only eight, you know, you went from six to eight SEC opponents, but they stuck at eight. Well, now, at least for this year, we have, and at least as long as the games are actually played, we have 10. And so let's take it in order. Now, earlier in the day, they kind of let slip the first games. And I thought somebody summed it up really well. They said, every game, John, they, hold on. I'm ill prepared. I'm not equipped. You know what's coming now. I'm ill equipped for this. But somebody pointed out that every game on the first week SEC schedule would easily fit into
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
And it's true. If you look at the first week's games, this is the question I had for you, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, but I want you to think about it for a second, and we're going to get to it. Which game on this on that first week schedule would, well, in fact, let's go ahead and do it, because you had first thoughts on seeing the schedule. Well, let's have first thoughts on seeing week one. Which game on that first week schedule would you have put as the CBS 230 game? I mean, I'm assuming they're still, are they still doing the CBS 230 games?
Yes.
Or, okay.
CBS and ESPN are negotiating about the SEC schedule as we speak.
Okay. So which game would you have taken if you were them? Because we don't know, right? We don't know right now which one will be it.
No, we don't know. I'm going to say Auburn-Kentucky might be the CBS game.
And yet I saw this afternoon USA Today Sports tweeted the first seven games. The opening games, and they had Auburn, Kentucky next to last in terms of interest.
To me, the LSU Mississippi State game is the interesting game just because it's Mike Leach's first game in the SEC. They're playing the defending national champs in Baton Rouge, so they'll, you know, that would be a fun home game in a regular year. And it will be interesting to see, you know, Mike Leach's offense gets an SEC defense and all that kind of stuff. And LSU's got two new coordinators. There's a lot of interest and drama there. But I didn't want to put LSU in the afternoon slot. I wanted that to be a night game. That's what, kind of what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But and they're going to be a 20-point favorite or whatever in that game. So
yeah. Well, you know, there's usually two. There may be more, but the two that come to my mind, there's usually two factors that go into how that CBS 230 game gets chosen. One factor is the matchup factor. Like if it's two B-level teams, they might go with that. You know, like for example, this year or like last year, if it was like Texas A&M and Georgia, or Florida versus Auburn, right? Then that would be you know, a matchup. It wouldn't be that just one team by itself last year carried it, but that matchup was good. The other factor, though, that goes into it is if there's not a great, you know, A versus A or A versus B or B versus B matchup, they then go to the biggest team available, like the most popular. And so at that point, I could see Alabama, Missouri, because A, that's an unusual matchup, and B, it's Alabama, you know what I mean, in the first week. So I could see Alabama, Missouri. I could see Florida Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin and Florida, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
But it really, I agree with you, LSU Mississippi State is interesting. I'm just running down it here. Tennessee, South Carolina.
Georgia, Arkansas. Who cares? Tennessee, South Carolina, again, is an even game, but that will be an ugly, ugly game.
That's the Tennessee, South Carolina would. At its best, that would be the ESPN 6 o'clock, 6:30, whatever game. But I think with...
Yeah, that's the appetizer evening game. That's a rock fight of a game right there.
Yeah. I'm thinking right now that the 2:30 game will be like, oh, God, it's hard. It's not going to be...
Maybe you're right. Maybe Alabama. Again,
Yeah, I think Alabama... I'm going to just go ahead and pick one. I'm going to say 2:30 is Alabama, Missouri... 6 o'clock is LSU Mississippi State, and then like that 7 o'clock ESPN2 game is Auburn Kentucky, and I'm gonna put
Tennessee South Carolina.
I'm sorry to say Tennessee South Carolina.
The 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
That's it. There you go. It's Tennessee, South Carolina. So, all right. So that's the opening week. So the whole thing came out. What did you first think when you saw all this?
I mean, it's crazy because, you know, it's just SEC games and there's no non-conference cupcakes or things. So it's tough. Schedule's tough. And some are much tougher than others. I think they did a good job spreading out the tough games so nobody has like really – let's get into it. There's only a few really brutal three-game stretches in my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like the home and away, I think they spread that out pretty well. And they put it where there's a bunch of open dates in the middle of the season. Everybody has an open date kind of in a week, you know, 5, 6, 7.
I've got something to say about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I think that's good planning. I'm an Auburn fan. The number one thing that leaped out to me is the Georgia game in week two.
Yes.
I think that's huge.
It is. Well, Alabama plays A&M in week two. We play Georgia. Florida plays the Chickens. And that's about it for interest. But quickly, let me just note about the open week since you mentioned that. The thing that I find really interesting about this overall, while we're just talking about the overall schedule. Yeah.
Construction of the whole thing.
Yeah, is that there are only three weekends, and they're back to back to back. There are only three weekends that have any open dates right now. Mm-hmm. And there's two on October 24th. There's two on October 31st. And there's three on November the 7th games, you know. In other words, four teams, and six teams, meaning two games, three games. So that's what that means is you're not going to get those weeks where just nobody's playing. Even the week that you have six teams off, which is November the 7th, you still have Georgia, Florida, you know, and you still have A&M chickens, and you still have Arkansas, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt, Ole Miss is actually usually a pretty entertaining game. So, you know, if nothing else, Florida, Georgia kind of gets that weekend to themselves to be to hype that game up. That will be interesting,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Now, we turn our attention to our schedule for a second. The thing that really jumps out at me about our schedule is that our two big games are next to first and next to last. That's mm-hmm. weird. So talk about that a little bit. How do you perceive our schedule in terms of, like, Georgia second and Alabama second from last and having A&M at the end? I guess we should read it, but go ahead.
It's very weird. Right. So, I mean, people can read the Auburn schedule. I don't think we have to walk through the whole thing unless we want to. But Georgia being, again, before this year, was always at the end of the year, you know, Georgia, somebody Alabama, right? Mm-hmm. And then we moved for this year and going forward, we moved Georgia to mid-October. Mm-hmm. Now Georgia's the first weekend in October and the second week of the season because mm-hmm. we're starting so late. From a traditional when to play Georgia, the philosophy, I like it. You know, they would normally have a lot of guys injured or suspended early in the season.
That's a good point. Yeah, their suspended players will just be leaving instead of just coming back for once. Hallelujah.
That's right. And they have a brand-new quarterback, a brand-new offensive coordinator. They lost a bunch of people. So the defense is going to be really good, but the Please offense clap. Will still be a work in progress.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I guess catching Georgia early this year is actually a pretty good thing. Yeah. In fact, so,
go ahead.
I'm just like, in fact, I'm more concerned in some ways about that Kentucky game. I don't like opening with a team that, you know, it's just that classic thing we always talk about. You'd rather play a big name that's down than a bad name that's up. And Kentucky's kind of a bad name that's up, and that worries me.
They can run the ball. They're going to be tough. How do you feel about Alabama not being last?
Well, it's not necessarily the first time Alabama wasn't last, and although in the past it's been because of circumstances like 9/11, you know, and so hurricanes and disasters and all. But the thing about it I don't like is, you know, we after our open week on November the 7th, we play at Mississippi State, which is usually kind of tough. Then we have Tennessee at home, which won't be a cakewalk. Then we have to go to Alabama, and I mean, you can just see the emotional buildup up to that trip to Alabama. And then if we, by some miracle, win in Tuscaloosa, we have to turn around and come home and play Texas A&M for the last game of the season. And that's like, you know, that's one of those. It's almost like an out of conference. It's almost like having Clemson at the end. Well, I'm not saying they're that good, but you know, it's almost like, you know, how Florida ends their schedule with Florida State mm-hmm. after they played their SEC schedule. It's just kind of a weird out of place team to be there in December. What how does it strike you?
It does. You know, in the previous Auburn 2020 schedule, the old. Mm-hmm. schedule that which it would have been mm-hmm. you know, we had LSU at the end, right?
It was right LSU before Alabama. Yeah,
right, back to back.
Yeah,
now it's switched. Texas A&M has to play LSU and then us back to back to end the season. So I think it's kind of equally tough on us and A&M.
Yes,
it's a home game for us. I think that's an advantage. If we had to go, you know,
well,
we were going there maybe, but
in this series, though, I would agree with you, except
that's fair.
In this series, it's the away game series. Although, you know, A&M hasn't beaten us since Jimbo's been there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, you're right. I hadn't looked at the other side of the coin, which is while we have to play at Alabama and then come home and play A&M, they have LSU at home and then turn around and come to Auburn. I'm at least glad it's in Auburn. I mean, again, like you say, while it is A&M and Auburn is what Auburn and Georgia used to be. The road team always wins. But for some reason, I agree that I wouldn't want to play Alabama and then have to go to College Station the next week.
You're right. You made a good point about the emotional stakes, though. That Alabama game is, you know, physically we're going to be beaten up, and it's going to take a lot out of the team emotionally either way.
Yeah, but you're right. At least LSU will have done the same thing maybe to A&M, and they usually do, right? I mean, that's that game that LSU always wins. They just LSU has A&M's number the way Georgia's had ours lately, and just, you know, inexplicably. So that's fine with me. So okay, so that's not quite as bad as maybe it first seemed. What do you think about playing Tennessee November 21st? I mean, we knew we were going to get Tennessee on this schedule, but for some reason I just think of Tennessee as a team we play in September or October. It's just weird to play them that late in the year, isn't it?
It is. We've never played them late in the year.
No.
That I remember.
No.
And it's kind of weird, too, that we're playing them at home again.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, but I'm just delighted to have a chance to get revenge for that stupid loss a couple of years ago. So I
hopefully
kind of want to take it to them. This is the thing that I see when I look at the Auburn schedule. All right, tell me what you think about this. You know, that I agree that Kentucky's a little tougher than I wanted for an opening game.
Yes.
But we open with like Kentucky and Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I like Georgia early in the season. I like Georgia. They're not going to let them have any fans there or minimal fans. So the home field advantage won't be what it was. And they, you know, so that's not terrible. And then we got kind of three less difficult games: Arkansas, on the road to South Carolina, Ole Miss, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think we have those two tough games to start, the three kind of easier games, then
hopefully,
you know, LSU.
Yeah.
Right.
Then we get to take a little break.
We get a break, recover, and then we head into, you know, the new Amen corner, right?
This is Amen Corner 2020. Pat Dye is rolling over in his newly
right.
newly it drawn is. Grave. Mississippi State, Tennessee, Alabama, Texas A&M. Oh Lord, how is that Amen Corner? That is
weird.
Good heavens! But yeah.
But
so
I just kind of liked how that's set up. You know what I'm saying? And again, because I think we come out of the bye week, we have a chance to rest up, and then I think we can work out some things against Mississippi State and Tennessee before Alabama.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I don't mind playing Tennessee the week before Alabama. I would prefer it if it was Mississippi State or Ole Miss, maybe. But you know, honestly, everybody's in the same boat because nobody has a cupcake, really, except that we don't play Vanderbilt. That's the downside. We don't play Florida, but we also don't play Vanderbilt. So I guess it kind of balances out. But I mean, you know, everybody has a tough game after a tough game after a tough game, pretty much. And so, and I noticed, by the way, that Alabama doesn't play Vanderbilt either. That's funny. So, you know, playing Tennessee and then going to Alabama, you just don't know what to expect from Tennessee. So it's a strange. I don't know. We're just such uncharted territory.
Good. I think they're solid. They're building. I mean, they're not. I don't think they're ready to challenge Georgia for the East, but I think they're definitely a bowl team and a good team. So,
well, we'll know a lot more about them by the time we play them than we usually do when we play them. You know what I mean? Usually we're playing them so early that we don't really know a lot about them yet.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I think we covered that. Any other thoughts on other teams' schedules? I mean, we haven't really talked about the others that much. We know that Arkansas totally got hosed. They playing an NFL schedule. Man.
Or Auburn schedule.
Yeah, exactly. The Auburn 2019 schedule. what do you think about not having any out-of-conference teams? We haven't really talked about that. I mean, what is that? You know, this is another weird thing. This is all so weird.
It is weird. It just, the whole thing makes it weird. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole no non-conference thing. I kind of like it, though. I'd like to play non-conference teams. I was looking forward to playing North Carolina. But this is cool. It's interesting. It's different. But the problem is going to be fan expectations, right?
Yeah.
It's 10 games. Some of the bottom teams are going to go 0-10, 1-9. You know, there's going to be some good teams that go 4-6 and 5-5.
There are. We were watching the show at supper a while ago, and I told Amy, I looked at Arkansas and I said it's really sad when your best case scenario is 1-9.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, they're like, our best case scenario is that we pull the big upset over Missouri. I mean, I honestly think that's it. that's their big chance to get a win is to pull that upset on November 28th. And it's at Missouri, so they don't even have it at home. I guess maybe they got Ole Miss at home on October 17th. That could be their other chance, to, unless they pull some flabbergasting upset. And that's anything is possible, of course. But I really don't see Arkansas doing better than 1-9.
No, they're going to be. Yeah, that's the best case scenario. I think.
Yeah.
On the again, we knew this already, but teams that have tough schedule, I think A&M's schedule is pretty tough.
Is it possible to lose more than 10 games on a 10-game schedule?
Yeah, because they're going 0-11.
They're going 0-11 on a 10-game schedule. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess you up.
That's
there.
Good. No, but I think, I was just saying, I think A&M's schedule is pretty tough. I mean, again, like, yeah, they open with Vanderbilt. That's great. They'll get a W, but then they go
Alabama and Florida.
Alabama, Florida. Okay. And then you're recovering from that. You still got to play Mississippi State. It's a tough game. You come out, you get Arkansas. Great. And then you go like South Carolina, Tennessee. Like the chances they make it through both of those without screwing that up. They've never been to Tennessee. This is the first time they've ever.
Oh, interesting.
And then again, ending the year with LSU Auburn back to back is no cupcake.
You know, Missouri still hadn't been to Auburn.
Nope.
How weird is that?
It's so wrong.
It's just bizarre. I mean, the conference came into its current format in 2012. And Missouri still hasn't visited Auburn.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Ending with LSU and Auburn is no cakewalk when you started with Alabama and Florida. It's kind of soft in the middle, but it's hard on both ends. So, I don't know. What do you think about LSU? Let's see. They got Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Missouri. They coast for a little while, but then they got to go to Florida. The Chickens, they got to go to Auburn. They got Alabama. And then Arkansas, A&M, Ole Miss. So it's all kind of even. I mean, you know, if you're a decent team, everybody's schedule is kind of about even, really.
Again, one of the things I look at is I look at Georgia's schedule and I see like they got some tough. And again, they got us in Alabama in the first half, okay, and Tennessee. So after their bye, they play Florida, right? That week you pointed out, and then their last four are Missouri, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Vanderbilt.
So man.
Florida in good shape is Coast City.
Oh, yeah. All they got to do is just – well, the Chickens always give them trouble, and they got to go to the Hen House this year. But, I was just kind of looking around to see who has the toughest opening. Arkansas has Georgia, Mississippi State, and Auburn.
Vanderbilt has
A&M
and LSU.
A&M and LSU, yeah. Well, A&M, after Vanderbilt, A&M has Alabama, Florida, as you were just saying. So, yeah, Missouri has Alabama, Tennessee, LSU. That may be the winner right there.
Yeah, that's it.
Missouri, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU. Then they get Vanderbilt to take a breather, and then they got Florida. So their first five games, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, Vanderbilt, Florida, and Kentucky. So it really – and then they have a break, and they play Georgia. Man, Missouri – dang, dude. Yeah.
1-9, 2-8. Okay, just write it down.
Well, we're not going to say what we think Auburn's going to do because...
No. We're just throwing out numbers for the fun of it. Look at these guys. This is not the prediction.
No. We couldn't even do the barbecue show before now because we had no schedule. So now I guess we can go ahead and be scheduling the somewhat delayed... It's about a month later than usual, but we had to do what we had to do.
We normally do it about now, I think.
Somewhere, somewhere. So, all right. Well, we'll plan that for the next couple of weeks. Somewhere in there, we'll get it in. All right. Any other thoughts about the schedule before we turn to Auburn news?
No, but the other thing, I think you prepare yourself for this. Again, September 26th, okay? So, it's that's like not that far away. I mean, it's over a month away.
Yeah.
But there could be, if the Big 12 doesn't cancel, there's going to be a Big 12 game in like 2 weeks.
You know, that's the thing.
There's going to be 2 or 3 weeks of Big 12 play before we start.
Big 12 action. That's the thing that's going to be so weird about this season on top of everything else is that two conferences aren't playing at all. At least one is waiting until almost the end of September. One is starting pretty much on time. Do we know what the ACC is doing? Yeah, they said anything? I haven't heard a peep out of the ACC.
They released their schedule a while ago. I think they're starting on time. I will double check.
That would be good. I mean, you know, I would hate for the first two or three weeks of the season to be stuck with, you know, Oklahoma State, Baylor. I mean,
they're starting a little bit late, the 12th of September.
Okay, so
so we'll get some good opening. You know, we'll get a couple weeks of ACC play before we
have right. So we kind of ease our way in. We get some Big 12 as a kind of an appetizer, and then we get a couple of, I guess, Clemson games, and then we get
the first weekend is like Georgia Tech, Florida State. That's not very good, but NC State, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, blah blah. I don't know.
NC State,
Syracuse, North Carolina. So anyhow.
What do you think about not playing North Carolina?
Again, I'm with the 10 game schedule. I'm very glad we're not playing any tough conference teams because it's very tough. And North Carolina's going to be good. They're a legitimate, you know, top 15 kind of team. So it would have been a really fun game, and I hope we play them again sometime. But you know, it's what it is.
You know, I wonder if they'll just push everything back or if this is going to knock that one off because, you know, we keep pushing the game against Cal further and further back. And I've been planning on going to that for like a decade now, and they keep moving it back. And so I'm just wondering if this is going to push it back even further or not. I don't know. It's going to be like 2030 now or something like that. So, well. We signed a new receiver who moved up to the class of 2020, and he's already in at Auburn.
It is. That was kind of a shock. It was a big recruiting battle for a player actually from Virginia, Malcolm Johnson, a very fast, talented receiver that on their podcast the other day, Keith Niebuhr, one of them, quoted somebody comparing him to Sammy Watkins.
Yes, I heard that.
You know, a big-time recruit, and then instead of signing next you know, in December and enrolling then, which was his plan, because Virginia is not playing high school football in the fall. Statewide, there is no high school football in the fall in Virginia. That's why he went ahead and converted.
I didn't think about that.
Because he's academically eligible to do it, he converted the class of 2020 and enrolled at Auburn now.
Well, he must have pretty good grades and stuff then. Must be a pretty sharp kid.
You have to do your core. You have to have your core requirements taken care of. So clearly, he was thinking ahead about that.
Good job.
But he was probably on track to graduate in December, and maybe he had maybe he did some stuff over the summer thinking this was a possibility. You got to feel pretty good about Auburn's, you know, talent they brought in a receiver in the last year.
Oh gosh, yeah. This class now, 4 4-stars and a 3-star. I mentioned that on Twitter, and all these people that knew better than me were saying the 3-star was possibly the best one. That he was like woefully undervalued. So, dang, man. And
we got the big name guys, Seth Williams, Schwartz, Eli Stove, and then that kind of in between class has kind of been whittled down and not done a whole lot. The Shedrick Jackson class, and now we got this group, kind of the younger group, which I think is going to step forward this year and kind of take over and be the show they're the contribute, but also kind of show they're the future.
Well, I think about the great receiving classes in Auburn history, and the one that always comes to mind to me is the class that started fall of 2002 or redshirted 2003, because that was the Aroma Shadu, Obamanu, Mix, and Courtney Taylor class. And that's tough right there, right? I mean, that's like, you know, three of those guys. You know, Anthony Mix was a good, solid receiver. No disrespect to him. But, you know, if you were re-ranking those guys now, Aroma Shadu and Obamanu would be 4.5 stars in what they did at Auburn. And Courtney Taylor is a 5-star for Auburn history. And Anthony Mix would be like a good 3-star receiver. You know what I mean? So that was a great class. And we had a class a couple of years ago that had some really good receivers in it, including our old buddy Three Name that I can never remember his name. Remember that was there was a good little receiving class that came in. About 2014 maybe, 2015. They didn't all stick around. But this one is just huge. I mean, these guys are amazing. We got a good linebacking class coming in and a good receiving class coming in, if I remember correctly. And so I think that speaks to our coaches and our recruiters, too, that they're very good. And we've got a good offensive line class coming in because we got Son of the Dragons, as I'm going to call him. The Son of the Dragon is our offensive line coach now. And so that's looking up, which we desperately needed. So that is, I didn't think about the whole that, but I just say this, that talented as he must be, Malcolm Johnson, what you say about him being able to graduate early and everything, that gives me a sense that not only is he physically talented, but he's got it on the ball. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He must. So fall practice started today. What do we know anything yet?
Not yet. There were several players who were missing, potentially in isolation or whatever. They haven't said anything formally yet that I've seen. And there hasn't been any reports about that I have seen about who did well or that kind of stuff. But it's also first day, so you know. But again, a lot of guys that, you know, we didn't get to have real spring practice, so a lot of guys haven't been out there. New guys, JUCO offensive line guys who are coming from injuries in the spring. So it's going to be, you know, a very newsworthy, you know, first week or two of fall practice.
For sure. Yeah, it's been, somebody pointed out that the last time our players were in pads was January 1st.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's been a little while. And I'm sure they're, you know, ready to get back to it. So that's great. That's cool. Do we know anything like, are they having to do anything special beyond just testing them for the virus or whatever? Are they having to separate more? Or surely they're not like wearing masks on the practice field or anything. I'm just trying to imagine what's different.
I mean, I think coaches wear masks.
Okay.
Not players who are exercising, but I think coaches
right. And
other people. And if you saw, there's a picture out there that someone put out from Todd Ernst or whatever, the team photographer put out of the team meeting in the stadium today, and they're all sitting 6 feet apart.
Oh, okay.
So I think they're trying to be careful. They're trying to pay attention and do things the right way. And
yeah,
I think again they know they need to be careful. So I think they're going to do it. There's a lot of, I think outside or outdoors, the reports are students were not wearing masks very much today, but indoors they are. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, that was me. Today was the first day of our class, and I had my little gator thing on my neck. And when I was, like, walking from the car carrying all my books and everything, I had it down so I could breathe for sure because there was nobody anywhere around me. What was the point, you know? Yeah. But once I got to the door, I pulled it up. So,
sure.
And the students all did. So, okay. Well, we've got some listener questions, yes?
Yes.
So before we get to that, of course, we've got to thank the folks that keep our show going. If you would like to be part of the family, have your name mentioned on all our shows, and have our gratitude and thanks, as well as having access to early access to things like the next We Believed episode when it comes along, and the various the March Madness pools and all the various things that we do, access to our new materials like our books and stuff when they come out and all, then go to www.auwishbone.com, auwishbone.com, and just click on Become a Patron, join the ranks. And the ranks currently include, and again, I'm reading what the way that Patreon displays it now. All I can do is what they say, and it cuts off the name, so I'm going to try to make sure I get everybody's name right. I apologize if I butcher your name. I should know them all by now, but it's just weird how they've changed this thing and made it very difficult. So here we go. Our great supporters include Samuel Salvatore and Christopher Burleson. And then there is Phil Amthor, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, William Morgan, Gary Grant, Brian Gray, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, and Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, and Steve Trawick, Logan Chilton, Tom Anderson, Richard Stevens, and William Glenn Matthews. Then we have Connor Davis, James Greenwell, Emmanuel Seaman, W.D. Ritchie, Clinton Stewart and Christopher Stewart, Phil Davis and John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Kevin Smith, Winston Boddy, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, David Hegler, Mickey B, Shane Bailey, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Ann Kanji and Clay Henson, George Gaston, Catherine England, John McCune, David Evers, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Rich Reimer, Timothy, Chris Hilton, Di Bama. And then I click on this little button, and it says Sarah Hines, Darius Benton, Blake Heron, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Kevin Kanoy, Ross Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Hugh Anderson, Rob Morgan, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, Russell Milling, Chris Thrash, Earl Ricks, Spanky Chris, Jason Albrick, Russell Souther, Paul Bankson, Joseph Iliff, Stephen Wyatt, Matthew Flowers, Auburn Elvis, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Trevor Johnson, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, Brent Rumble, Justin Bean, Take a Breath Van, and finally, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Mick Vijakana, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We appreciate you. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now I have to click the thingy to say...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
And before we get into the mailbag, we have a special feature this week that came in, and I will just let it introduce... Uh-oh, I lost it.
Oh, no. While you're looking, I have to say something about this.
Go ahead.
I owe Jared an apology, apparently. He has been submitting questions, and I have missed them or failed to read them on the air, and that's 100% my fault, and it's not intentional. It's just, you know...
It's one of those things. It just happens.
So I apologize to Jared. Again, we are just a vessel for the delivery of the Eagle stories, and I don't want my failure to keep up with his emails or tweets or texts, whatever, to be an issue there.
Well, just think, and that's very, very cool of you to do that. I'm sure he will appreciate it. But this is August 17th, John. We are just over a month away from the return of the Adventures of the Eagle. I'm hoping that maybe we'll get a training camp Eagle update or a preseason Eagle episode, perhaps. Who knows?
But in the meantime, of my seat.
Yes, but in the meantime, we did receive this in our mail, and it's here. It's here somewhere. And
hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family, and welcome to the Yard Sale Artist Laboratories. I'm Professor Jared with this week's scientific conundrum. We are at a scientific crux of epic proportions. Ladies and gentlemen, we must have answers. There are two known constants in the universe. One is that Alabama will claim every national championship that they can possibly get their score-covered fingers on.
True.
The other is that Auburn University will always have some kind of bad luck to trip them up in their run for greatness. Our paths are converging with this season's limited coronavirus-influenced football schedule. So the real question is... will Alabama be crowned the coronavirus champions so they can claim another BS championship? Or will Auburn University be the coronavirus champions? Because it would be the most Auburn-like outcome to win a national championship in a year that will always remain in doubt.
That's true.
These two things cannot exist simultaneously. The universe may be destroyed. I need your opinions. Van, John, which constant is stronger? Alabama's need to claim fake national championships or Auburn's luck to win it all in a year that doesn't truly matter. From the Yard Sale Artist Laboratories, this is Professor Jared. I will see you next time. And War Eagle.
I'm speechless.
That was profound. And I mean, production values aside, and Jared does always bring the production values, that was a pretty profound question that he raises. And I do want to address that because it's a very good point that this is one of those years that could go either way. It could either go Alabama somehow just kind of claims it the way the, you know, I've said before, the Redskins would always win a strike shortened NFL season. And I can see Nick Saban in Alabama being kind of like Joe Gibbs and the Redskins used to be, kind of doing that, you know, just by being solid and having the players that when things are weird, they just come out on top. I can totally, and they would claim it. I totally see that. But Jared makes a good point, though, that Auburn, our entire reputation, our whole raison d'etre, everything that is Auburn about Auburn says we go 10-0 and have no actual, and people don't believe we won the national championship. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like we would say, no, we really.
We go 10-0 and the playoff gets canceled.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That is absolutely a possibility that we go 10-0 and then they go, we're not going to play anything else. We're there's too many people sick, and that's, I could 100% see that. So this is really tough. I agree with him that it is kind of a conundrum because they both are kind of equally valid in history. What do you think is more likely?
Oh, Alabama's penchant for claiming things they shouldn't.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't feel like Auburn, because of our, again, we're not predicting wins and losses yet, but here's the thing. I actually listened to this a little bit earlier and thought about it for a minute, and then I was going to hear what you had to say too. But here's the thing that jumps out to me. The years that Auburn has done that, the years that Auburn has had those seasons that kind of came out of nowhere, usually it was when something dramatic changed in the offseason and people just didn't appreciate how important it was. Like, for example, bringing in Al Borges, which is kind of what we did this year a little bit, but having, you know, we had the whole team from 03 back. We didn't lose hardly anything. And then we bring in Al Borges. Or like, you know, 93 brought in Terry Bowden and Stan White was a senior and we had all those players, you know, and we didn't have any pressure. Or, you know, I'm trying to think, like 2010, we brought in Cam and we had Gus, you know, who had done a really good job in 09 and was really kind of getting in the swing of things. Something usually, you know, even like a year like 2000 where we'd been so bad in 98, 99, we brought in the great, you know, Rudy Johnson to kind of give us a running game. This year, the only thing you can point to, I think, is our new offensive coordinator is even more dramatic of an improvement than we thought, or the new running backs will be, you know, like just NFL-level backs. Those are the only two factors I can think of that would be such a positive improvement that could actually, you know, push us toward like an undefeated season. Do you concur? What do you think?
Yeah, and I think like the Chad Boris coming in plus the improvement of Bo Nix plus the running backs together, it's that scenario, yeah.
If we had the same defense we had last year, I would say it is possible. But I'm afraid that even if we've gained something on offense, we'll be back to a mere mortal defense. Not bad, just not, you know, having those two guys up front wreaking havoc that they did last, you know, we had basically two Charles Barkleys wreaking havoc on the football field every play, as he liked to say, you know. So I'm leaning toward the Alabama scenario being more likely just because this year, I think the periphery of this year suits Auburn's narrative, but I don't feel like the internal Auburn story this year fits that Auburn narrative.
I hear you.
Okay.
I mean, I get that, but I think the, again, if it's a chaos and weird things, I mean, and we'll get to this in the barbecue show, yeah. But so, a lot of times Auburn's year is the weird year. So.
It is. That is absolutely true. Okay. What else we got in the mailbag?
All right. First question. I need the soundboard again.
Oh, whoop.
From our friend Auburn Elvis. What was that?
A little less conversation, a little more action.
All right. Satisfaction in me. His question is, now that Texas A&M has to play us in the final game, what crazy way will Auburn beat the Aggies?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it'll be a tie game towards the end. They'll go for an onside kick, and our guy will recover it and run it all the way back.
Well, how did Elvis, I like that. How did Elvis phrase it again? I'm sorry, I was still fighting.
Now that A&M is the last game of the season, in what crazy way will Auburn beat the Aggies?
Okay, in other words, what will we do in that game that we would normally do in the Iron Bowl or something, maybe?
Yes.
Or Yeah, after the way we beat them 2 years ago, where they were like killing us for 3.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden we just went touchdown, 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 we win. That one kind of blew my mind. You know, that was the Seth Williams coming out, if I remember correctly, coming out party. So maybe they could do a butt snap.
Mm-mm.
Or maybe we block a field goal attempt where they're tacking on at the end and we run it back for a touchdown.
And run it back. I like that.
Yeah, something like that. Something weird, I agree.
Those are good. All right, our next question is from Jacob Fleming.
Yay, Jacob.
Who says, good afternoon, friends. Conference realignment has emerged as a disruptive force in college football approximately a decade ago and altered the landscape of the sport. How do you think realignment has changed the SEC? Do you think the play has improved or been diluted? He says, I love the addition of Texas A&M. The Aggies made a seamless transition in the league, with the horrible exception of Chizik's final season. The games between Auburn and A&M have been close, competitive, and entertaining. I think the conference made a major mistake with Missouri. If given a second chance, do you think the SEC would have pursued teams like West Virginia or Virginia Tech more? Have a great week, fellas. Cheers.
All right. Well, to be fair, I have to recuse myself on the Missouri question because, you know, I could not be more biased. I wanted Missouri in the SEC. I am thrilled to have Missouri in the SEC. My only problem is that we don't play them often enough. I wish we played Missouri every year. I wish they were in the same division with us, and I could go see Auburn play 2 hours from my house every other year. That would be great. So I have no problem at all. I will say, though, again, I've lived up here since 2006, and they do not care. I guarantee you most people around here don't even know Missouri is in the SEC, if they even know Missouri plays football. They just are not. It's just not something that they're particularly interested in. I don't understand it. I never will. I guess if my local college football team all these years had been Missouri, I wouldn't care that much either, to be honest.
Wow.
But they don't. I mean, they care about the Cardinals, and I guess on the other side of the state, the Royals. And then when the Blues won the Stanley Cup, they went berserk for the freaking Blues for about a month, and then they fell off the earth. You forgot about them again. Beyond that, honestly, they hate the Cubs. And beyond that, they just don't.
Rams are gone.
Yeah, and they didn't care. They were about as upset when the Rams left St. Louis as Houston was when the Oilers folded up and left Houston. You remember when Houston was, the Oilers were got to leave, and they called for this big rally on the courthouse steps in Houston, and like five people showed up? That's what would happen if Missouri said we're not playing football anymore. Like five people would show up. So, man, maybe I'm missing out on the big hotbed of Missouri football interest around here, but I never see it. My students don't, you know. I'll have like one student in a class every semester that occasionally wears a Missouri sweatshirt or something. One, maybe. Whereas, you know, where you and I are from, it would be everybody wearing an Auburn or Georgia or Alabama or Florida or Tennessee or, you know, whatever. So, I don't know. But, I'm biased. What do you think about Missouri?
Again, I think they've been competitive.
More than was expected, I think.
Yes, more than they've honestly been more competitive than I expected, and I think they've been a solid addition, not great but not terrible, and it's been a good market and all that stuff. I just think the fit of them in the East is weird, and
it is
that's
weird.
A whole thing. So again, I not West Virginia, so I, again, I'm biased. I would have liked to see Virginia Tech get in for the same reason that you feel about Missouri,
but, right?
That, you know. That's what it is. So.
The worst part for me is even if you put Missouri in the West, it would still not help me because you would do so by moving Auburn to the East and be right back where I started. So, I mean, you know, the only benefit would be they'd come to Vanderbilt, which is 4 hours away, and Kentucky, which is about 4 hours away. So, you know, right now Auburn doesn't come anywhere near me. It's weird that I live on the border of Illinois and Missouri, and they come a lot closer to me in the East than they do in the West. So weird. But that's how it is.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what the other options really were at that point.
No. I mean, it was about TV market. Everybody acts like they looked around and said, what team would be most competitive? If they'd wanted to do that, they'd have gotten like Clemson out of the ACC or something. They wanted the St. Louis TV market.
That wasn't an option. But the other part is like Missouri wanted to be – I think Missouri always wanted to be in the Big Ten.
Yes, absolutely.
It sells that direction. So.
Exactly. Missouri – it's like Missouri burned all their Big 12 bridges trying to get in the Big Ten. The Big Ten didn't want them, and it was to the point where the Big 12 was sick of them. They didn't really have anywhere else to go. You get the golden ticket to the SEC, baby. You hold your nose and go. But they've always acted like – you know, we were like their third choice. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I've always, you know, the little meme of the guy walking down the sidewalk with his girlfriend, but he's looking back at the other girl.
Yeah,
that's Missouri as the Big Ten walks by, and the girlfriend is the SEC.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
All right, and then two more. One is from Keith Del Spaw. Made a comment before the schedule came out, basically saying, who's surprised they stacked Auburn's schedule with back-to-back games against LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M? Not completely wrong.
No.
And he says, and that each one has Arkansas or Vanderbilt followed with a bye week right before they play Auburn. Not completely wrong.
No. I was trying to see. So Alabama actually, we haven't talked about that. We talked about Auburn ending the season not with Alabama, with A&M. Alabama ends the season with Arkansas. Oh, my goodness. So if they win the Iron Bowl, then go ahead and punch their ticket or whatever because they get the...
Their last four, LSU, Kentucky, Auburn, Arkansas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, and they do have Georgia, and I'm really looking forward... I mean, that's probably like the game I'm most looking forward to seeing this year is Alabama-Georgia in the regular season. The fact that they don't play each other in the regular season and never have is the Bear Bryant legacy times 1,000. He made sure that Alabama considered Vanderbilt a bigger rivalry than Georgia. When anybody that didn't know any, you ask a 4-year-old who Alabama's rivalry is, they probably would say Georgia, just looking at the map, you know what I mean? So they always knew. They knew don't play Florida, don't play Georgia, play Vanderbilt, Tennessee. That's always what they did. So, okay, any other questions?
Well, but you need to think about this, okay?
Hmm?
That weekend, November 12th, November 14th, 15th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's Masters makeup weekend. The Masters is going to be that weekend. So CBS is going to show the Masters all day and then Alabama LSU at night.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, I didn't even think about the thought of playing the Masters in November. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Indianapolis 500 is famous for Memorial Day weekend in May, and it's this coming weekend. So everything is really weird, yeah. So
and the last email, there was a couple of – I made a comment online about how, you know, now that we've scheduled Kentucky first, the NCAA will get off their rear end and immediately clear Joey Gatewood's eligibility.
Oh, yeah.
But some people were pointing out that he's – you know, they have a returning quarterback that's really good that the head coach likes, Terry Wilson, and he's – so, again, another reason to be concerned about that game.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree that under any other circumstances, he would be starting and playing for sure and probably find a way to score 5 touchdowns on us, honestly, but just the way it goes.
That's it for the list of questions.
All right. I guess we've kind of done our trip around the SEC. Is there anything else left to say about around the SEC? That's kind of been the episode.
Other teams are starting camp also. So we should have some. Florida was missing 5 or 6 big players today. Some other players have been opting out around the SEC. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But it should be interesting, you know, the news around the SEC in the next week or so in terms of, you know, practice starting, depth charts, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Did you notice that Auburn's had 30-something players and one trainer to test positive already?
Mm-hmm.
That's more than I thought by far. It's just amazing to me how this thing is so communicable that just people keep getting it all around. Wow. I think that probably a lot of germs are that way, and we just don't think about them the way we do this because this is so bad, you know. But think about like the common cold, how it just moves around every year. And good heavens. All right. Well, okay. So there's our around the SEC. And I guess that's pretty much it. Any last thoughts for today, John?
No, it's nice to talk about football again.
It is.
Think about football. Think about, you know, the old SEC office, you know. See what they can do to take care of their friends at Athens and Tuscaloosa like normal. So.
That's the truth. They do. They take care of them. And my wife continues to say that we're talking about fantasy football because she doesn't think there's going to be any played. But I still want to punch the Oregon State guy in the face. That was I'm sorry to bring up another topic, but did you see what the Oregon State AD said?
Yeah.
About they were, what did the Pac-12 know that the SEC doesn't? And he says reality. Well, you know, that's fine. We'll see. I think my last word is, in a few months, somebody's going to look dumb, but I'm not 100% sure who it is right now. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So we'll see. But I don't think that story has been told yet.
No, and the Big Ten is taking a bunch of crud today. The Big Ten commissioner is getting barbecued. So
yeah, and well, good. So. All right. Well, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.